Here is a man, he's a prophet, one of the most outstanding men in history. He says, cleanse me, I'm undone. He doesn't say, I'm behind in my tithing. He doesn't say, I'm not as I should be. He says, purge me. Did God hear his cry? Woe is me, I'm undone. Here's the final thing. He didn't say, Lord, I think there's something wrong with me. He said, Lord, I've filthy lips, and I live amongst people with filthy lips. Somebody told me, and I hope it's, I'll quote it, because it's the same thing I believe. Somebody told me that recently Paul Cain said this, I think one of the great pollutions in the church is through the lips. Gossiping lips, criticizing lips, dirty lips. Dear God, we slander somebody and then say, Lord, bless me today and bless my family. With dirty lips. Preposterous. Then you have an altar there. The top of the altar is something like mesh. On the altar, there's a slain animal. And from that animal, drops of blood are dropping onto the live coals. The blood is symbolic of the cross. And the fire, symbolic of the Holy Ghost. You put the blood and the fire together, and the angel can't take hold of the thing. He gets a pair of tongs, and he touches him on his head. No, he touches where he's filthy. He says, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. What did David cry? Terrified that God would take his spirit from him. You know, there's no fear of God with us. I turned up thinking about Moses today. We give people a second chance. Did Adam get a second chance? Did Moses get a second chance? God said, speak. And instead of speaking, he smote the thing. It cost him 40 years. And yet, preacher, you've been walking in disobedience for the past 5 years. And you think it's all right. God doesn't mind. Listen, brother, he'll catch you at the end of the road anyhow. You better do the will of God, whatever it costs. I tell you what, today I cried, and 2 or 3 days I've cried over the most neglected, forgotten people in the world. They live in America, called the American Indians. Nobody goes to them. Even their own people don't want them. They're torn with witchcraft. I heard the other day a missionary saying, you come down where we live, you'll see demon power. You'll see people healed by demons. You'll see all kinds of awesome things done by demons. But why can't we counteract in the counter it in the power of God? The devil's run the business too long. He's run the church too long. It's time you craved in your heart and said, Lord, I can't live any longer. As a man said this morning, Lord, I can't live like this. If you can't change my personality, if you can't indwell me, if you can't fill me with the Holy Ghost, I don't want to live. I'll say the same thing, old as I am. I've not seen the best yet. I've not seen the glory I want to see. I've not even seen the glory God wants to give. And as soon as you get angry and say, Lord, I can't live like this anymore, can you imagine the life call from off the altar touched upon his lips? Do you wonder that after that, he can walk into the presence of God purified? He hasn't a single thing he's interested in. It's God first. No, no, no. I used to have a little Bible case. It had God first. And a very famous man, I won't tell you his name, Len, you want to cross that up? I think it's wonderful. It gives me a point of contact. I get in a bus. Oh, God first. He said, it's wrong. I said, what do you mean it's wrong? He said, it's not God first, it's God only. Well, that's where we should be. God only. Again, see this man who'd been terrified with impurity. I'm unclean, I'm undone, I don't deserve to come. And a cherubim takes a live coal from off the altar. The cherubim had 6 wings. What do you do when the light's too bright? You put your glasses over and you screen the brightness. They didn't have glasses, so they filtered the glory of God through their wings. They couldn't, they didn't look on God. And they put two wings over themselves. They didn't let God look at them. And so they cried in their misery. One morning this week, I want us to remind ourselves of Psalm 80, where David says, "Oh, thou that dwellest between the cherubim." Well, listen, I tell you before God, I'm tired of God living amongst the cherubim. I want you walking on the high. I want you to come here, even if I'm terrified when he comes. I'm sick of meetings. I've been in meetings all over the world for 60 years almost. I've never seen the glory I want to see, and God wants to unveil it on this age, which is the most crooked, perverse, rebellious generation in history. Sex is a joke. Uncleanness is a joke. Rebellion is a joke. How long does God put up with it? All right, take the life coal and put it on your lips. I say this and finish. I was a youth leader in a church. I had more zeal than most people. They said, "Oh, Ravenhill's going to do this, Ravenhill's going to do that." I rallied the young kids to pray Saturday night. I rallied them to pray at 7 o'clock Sunday morning. And one day I went to an altar, and everybody said, "And my preacher came in, what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I've some uncleanness in me." "No, Len, you're all right. You're the best guy in this church. Everybody knows you pray with zeal. Everybody knows you shout best in the open air," so forth. It didn't make a hill of beans if Gabriel said it to me. I knew inside I had a defilement. And I said to the man, "Listen, I want Romans 6:7 in my life. He that is dead is freed from sin. I want to die." A precious girl prayed in our prayer meeting yesterday morning, "Lord, do something in this meeting. We've been to meetings and made commitments and we fall back." Here's a girl bursting with tears, saying, "Oh God, please do something in this conference in Anaheim where we'll never backslide again. We'll never lose our anointing." We'll never lose our vision. I'm saying the final thing here. One of the most dramatic prayers, I think, the whole of God's word. I'm up the hill again. Jack, is it, where's it prayer? Is it 64 where it says, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens"? Isaiah 64. But here he is. This man who was nervous in the sight of God says, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens." I'll tell you what, if we could rend them, we'd have rended them long ago. I preached at the annual conference of Full Gospel Businessmen 25 years ago. At their annual conference in Denver, there were a big crowd. And I said, "If you could buy the Holy Ghost, you'd have bought him long ago. You pull out your checks and want to govern him, but he won't play that game. God never took advice from me, and he won't take it from you. He says, read my word, read my revelation. Woe is me, I'm undone." A final thing. This precious brother at the front is a brilliant scholar in Hebrew and 16 Semitic languages. He invited me to go up to their place. My dear Paul, Martha and I went. We had 5 meetings. Only 2 of them were in buildings. The other were in houses. As we finished the Sunday night, people began to pray. And I remember the prayer of one blonde woman particularly. But then I looked up. There's a young Jew. I could just see his black beard with his hands in the air. I don't know if he's a lawyer or what. A wonderful looking guy. Do you know who was crying? "Lord, show me how to buy ointment. I'm blind." Jesus says of the church today, she's poor, wretched, naked, blind. No wonder she stumbles around. I've never forgotten the prayer of that man. Doesn't Jesus say, "When I come in, I counsel you to buy"? You say you can't buy anything from God. Well, argue with God. You can buy. We buy by our obedience. Buy of me gold. Buy of me white raiment. Buy of me eyesalve. The irony is that was the chief export of that town. It exported the best cloth. It exported the greatest eyesalve. And he says, "Hey, you're selling it and you need it. You want to go to the mission field?" "No, you need the mission. You need the Holy Ghost, friend, tonight. If God comes in, your prayer life will never drag. I think I could pray every hour of the day and enjoy every minute of it. I look forward to Saturday night. We're going to meet at 7 in the next room. Come. We're going to pray. I don't care if you stay there till 6 in the morning. But I want you to pray your long prayer before you come, and then pull your heart out and say, Lord, this next week is the most vital in Anaheim history, in American history, and maybe in world history. I tell you, I'm tired of praying for little chips. I want something that will glory. I want something so big no man will ever dare put his name on it. I'm sick of people trying to get power to boost their little cause. Forget it. Maybe I'm not smart. I think I'm not. But I'll tell you what. The little foretaste I've had of God, the little foretaste I have of fire, if he would condescend to give me a bigger burden, crush me more, give me anointing of the Spirit, you can have everything you like. Build the biggest church in America, get the greatest donations, I don't care. I want to live to make the devil get afraid. I want to see before we leave this place people swept by the hand that say, I can't be like this anymore. I need the fire of God. Burn up my pride. Burn up my selfishness. Burn up my weakness. Burn up my indifference. Fire will hurt, but I'll tell you, in God's name, there's nothing else we'll do. There are hundreds of preachers tonight, and you know at this moment your church is blind because you're blind. It has no vision because you've no vision. It has no passion. You go to the prayer meeting, it doesn't make a spot of difference. It's a crucial hour. What are we going to do? Keep the bridegroom waiting? Are we going to take off your dirty rags tonight and say, Lord, I'm unclean? Again, he doesn't say Israel is unclean. He doesn't say the priesthood is unclean. He says, I'm unclean. It's easy to say the preacher's not clean and the deacon, it's me. I'm going to ask you now, I never get choruses, I won't stir you emotionally. In your will you will tonight to do the will of God, whatever it costs? Will you say, burn up my future if maybe, burn up my anticipations, burn up my lifestyle? I want God the Holy Ghost tonight if I only live 12 more hours. I'm going to tell you, men, you say, I need this tonight. So get up and walk right here now and say, God, I'm going to stay here till the fire falls. And then the women can kneel at the chairs. Are you going to meet God? I'm not going to sing. You either come now, or I'm going to quit. Those men who say, now, I'm going to meet God. I want God to consume every hindrance in my life.